I am sure that I sat before your table. I have eaten of your feast. And now it is time that I feed your flock. And I pray that the food that we are about to receive will be spiritual nourishment for our spiritual souls, that we could become more and more like Jesus. Father, my greatest desire is that they don't see me, but see Jesus. That they don't hear me, but they will hear the voice of Jesus today. That you would be glorified and honored in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Daniel chapter number 10 and verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with a fine, girded with fine gold of Ufaz. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quake fell upon them, so that they fled and hid them, or to hide themselves. Verse number 9, yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then said I in a then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face towards the ground. Yeah, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Amen. You may be seated. We bless the Lord for the awesomeness of God's word. We have been talking last few weeks about the power of prayer. If you remember last week, we talked with you out of the book of James, and we talked about the fervent prayer of a righteous man / woman has great results. Please understand that the fervency of the earnest prayer of a righteous man / woman produces wonderful works. That's important for you to understand that. We've been talking about the power of prayer. I had a minister preach my sermon this morning, and all that he had said, I have to say again to you in your hearing, and it is important that you understand. But now, before we move on, it is very important. Matter of fact, Bring me Mark chapter 1, and I believe it's verse 35. And leave that up there, please, until I ask for another verse. But I need you to understand that, and I want to make a statement that was made in Sunday school, but I want you to know that I mean this. I mean this from the depth. Listen, I mean this from the depth of God's heart. God has chosen to use prayer. God has chosen to use prayer as an avenue for his power to be extended to all humanity. Do you hear me? Listen, without prayer, God has chosen not to do anything on behalf of humanity if God's people are not praying. Do you understand that? If you are not a praying people, do not expect the power of God to be released in your life. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I don't care. You can spin on your head and you can speak in tongues and you can do all that you want. Listen, if you don't have a vibrant prayer life, God is not going to release his power at all. And that's why America is in trouble. Because God's people have gotten so busy that we don't pray as we should. We got so wrapped up into programs, and I'm not going to diss them and let that be as it may, but we need to understand God said that my house is going to be called the house of prayer for all people. It's not going to be a house of programs. It's not going to be a house of all of that. It's going to be called a house of prayer. Then after prayer, then we can do everything that God has given us the power to. Look at this. Early in the morning, before he ate his breakfast. That's not scripture. Very early in the morning, while it was yet still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place to play tiddlywinks, to pray. And it was asked, if Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, him and his Father is one, before the foundation of the world, Jesus was right there. If he thought the need to pray, how much more should we of his servant understand and utilize the power of prayer? It is important. That's why Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 6. Anybody know the model prayer? Our Father which art in, hallowed would be thy. Listen. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. Jesus Christ, and we don't have time to really delve into all of this, but Jesus is saying that, listen, if you expect God's will to be done down here on this planet, you got to speak to me in heaven because I get to see what needs to happen down on earth. And because my people, which are called by my name, humbled themselves and is praying, now I'm going to do something in America. Listen, we got to utilize, and I don't care whether you believe this or not, and I'm not speaking just off the top of my head. God wants to do something in this city. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. God wants to see this city turn around for Jesus' sake. I remember we were, and matter of fact, Brother Ed Brown, maybe a latter part of the early part of last year, brought me some information. And do you know back in in the 60s, the mayor of that time dedicated this city to Satan? Do you know that? Some of the most hideous things that has happened in the city goes unconfessed. And we as the body of Christ, I strongly believe that if we would bring the city before God, as Jeremiah says, and we don't give God rest day or night, bringing this city before God, I know God will bring the city back to him. I know it. I don't care what the mayor has said years ago. I know what will happen. But God says that we need to do this through prayer. It is important. It is important. Now, listen. I want you, Brother And let it be the New Living Translation. Bring me Daniel chapter 9 and verse 23. I want you to see this verse because, may I also say this? Last week, many of you have raised your hand and said that your prayers go unanswered. And I told you that that was a misnomer. That is impossible. If you are born again Christian, for your prayers to go unanswered. Do you hear me? And I know you guys are so wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in the affairs of this life that you don't even know that God answered your prayers. You're mad. You're mad because he told you no. Yeah. You're mad because he told you no. Maybe you're upset because he told you to wait. I'm sure that every one of you pray don't want to hear a no. Amen. You, when you pray, because honest to God, and let us be quite honest to God, is that the only time we do pray is when we're in desperate situations. And then when we pray, oh my God, you need my phone getting cut off, or this, I need to know how to go back to school, or this need to, oh God, what? And it's like, you don't talk to me and I don't know the time until you want something. I hate that. I hate that. And my kids, whenever I would say to my kids, I love you guys, or just give them a, Dad, can I have? If they're all you're going to talk to me about, can you have? No, you can't have it. Get out. Not. Amen. Let me say this. God's ears are open. Open. Wide. To the prayers of his people. Absolutely not can God not hear your prayers. God says, my ears are open to you. You matter to me. I love you. I love you, and I'm going to listen to what you say. But now listen, do not use prayer to try to bend my arm. My grandbaby boy, he wants to wrestle me. I don't know why. And then I tell you this. And then when I throw him around and put my weight on him, my wife gets mad. He's only little. Well, he wants to wrestle me. I didn't ask him to wrestle. He said, Papa, do you want to wrestle? How many? I'm going to throw it on him, right? I mean, he wants to wrestle. I mean, he don't even care. He keep coming like a pit bull. He keep coming. I gave him my arm, and he tried to bend my arm about my neck, about my back. Now, how can that little boy take my... So, you know, I'm being, ow, ow, ow. And he says, Pop up, does that really hurt? No. Prayer is not that you're trying to bend God's arm. You can't. But I want you to see this passage of scripture that the Lord says to Daniel again. He says this, the moment you began praying, oh my goodness, I can't believe that you're even quiet at that waiting. The moment you open your mouth to God, he says, a command was given, and now I am here to tell you what it was. Why? For you are very precious to God. What more can be said about you? I don't care if the stuff that you got to fight with and struggle through. That's not what we're talking about. God said that if you name the name of Christ and my blood runs warm in your vein because it's from Jesus Christ, you're precious. You're precious to me. I love you, and I love to hear you talk to me. And listen, I am a firm believer. Brother Roberto said this today, so may it be verified from the pulpit. You cannot keep a vibrant relationship, an intimate relationship going on with God, and you don't pray. I don't care about the fasting. He doesn't say that. I don't care about your Bible studies. And you know me. I'm in all of that. But he said that you need to have an open communication. Prayer is the thing that God uses to keep intimacy flowing from my heart to his heart and from his heart to my heart. Yeah. God uses that. He uses that. It's important. Now listen. Listen, Jesus, matter of fact, brother, bring me this. I want you to see this. Bring me Luke 18:1. And I want you to see this. Jesus, I want you to see this verse. I'm hesitant because I want. One day, Jesus told this story you brought the New Living Translation, the King James, but stay there, brother. The disciples, a story that showed that they should always pray and never give up. Now, you got that? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now I'm going to say some things, and time isn't going to allow me to go in. Hopefully this will whet your appetite and you'll come Tuesday. I want to show you something. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Hold on. Go ahead and look at it. And say, Pastor, well, what in the world are you saying? Go ahead. Look at it. Somebody out there, read it. So read it. Go ahead, real loud. Read it. Do you know what you just read? I said this earlier. So many of you are one-dimensional. All you focus on is here and now. What you don't have. You pray for health, and you pray for wealth, and you pray for fairness. Not even understanding that you are a three-dimensional people. See, none of us really live in the realm that you're called to live in. Matter of fact, the Bible says that though we're in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now listen, casting down imaginations and every high thing that will exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Now get this. You guys and gals don't even understand is that when you pray, you are actually in a spiritual warfare. That's why Jesus says that we must continue to pray, because in praying, dear brothers and sisters, listen, when you pray, you release the power of God to do things that is supernatural. But if you don't pray, and I know some of you have been hindered by Satan, some of you, and that's why you get frustrated. That's why you start kicking and say, God don't love me and my prayers ain't being answered. Where do you think that's coming from? That's coming from the devil, because you don't understand that you are to persist in your prayer. Because listen, as the Bible speaks here in Daniel, it was told Daniel, listen, the moment you began to speak, God heard the answer was coming, but the king of Persia prevented me from coming. You don't even know. Listen, dear hearts, it's not about the fine things in life that you want. It's not about that. We're in a spiritual warfare. Brother, bring me Ephesians 6:12. Ooh, I want you to see this. Ephesians 6:12. It's important that you understand. And then, brother, from 6, you're going to go down to 18. But let's look. I mean, from 12, you're going to go to 18. But look at 12 first. Listen, I know this is a fact. And I'm not standing up here and telling you that Pastor Jack got it all together. Ask my wife, she'll tell you I ain't got it all together. Maybe 3/4, but not all. But I do know this. Satan cannot come and harass my prayer life anymore. That's a stinking lie. He's not allowed in my prayer life. And until you take control of that, he's going to come in and make you think of the most stupidest things that all get out. Matter of fact, how many of you during your prayer life fall asleep? You get sleepy? Yeah, you get sleepy. And how many of you in your prayer life have prayed and then your mind goes off and you forgot what you said? Does it? That sound familiar? Yeah. Who do you think's behind that? The devil himself. Why? He knows that when God's people are praying, the avenue of heaven is open. Oh, and he don't want that. There are angels, according to the book of Hebrews, that are ministering saints or ministering angels that come to your beck and call. Believe it or not. Yeah. Well, I won't scare you, but ask God to start showing you the angels that are encamped about you. They're fighting right now on the behalf of you. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Listen, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of this dark, darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now get this. See, the devil knows that when God's people put prayer as a priority, there's nothing he can do to stop the work of God from getting done. Absolutely nothing. Now, I know that you hear and you quote these scriptures that greater is he that is... And that's a matter of fact, and that's happening because of prayer. When you say that I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me because I got a prayer life. I'm praying. Bring verse number 18. Now listen to this. Verse number 18 says this. Listen, this is why the Bible says that men and women ought to always pray and don't quit. Because, dear brothers and sisters, listen, as soon as you pray, the demonic forces, the minions of hell, is coming against you to make sure that you get flustered and frustrated and you start thumbing your nose up at God and you tell God you don't love me and you get mad. Anybody get mad? Anybody cuss at God lately? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Listen to me. No, listen to what God is saying. He is telling us that if you would persist in your prayer life, oh, you are going to experience wonderful results. Because, dear hearts, listen, you heard Jesus teach this message that if you ask anything in my name, now hold on. Let me see. My good luck charm here is Jesus' name. My assurity of me getting what I want is Jesus' name. Anybody? Have you ever prayed something in Jesus' name and got ready to accept something and thinking that because I said it in Jesus' name, I got it? No. Wrong answer. So it would be best you say, as you're praying to your Father, and then you say this, and I pray in your name. Your name. Don't say Jesus' name. Say your name. Do you know why? Because maybe if you say it in your name, you'll get it. Because, now hold on, come on, guys. Have you ever been around some church people that God said no, and you manipulated? You went out there and you got a loan that you shouldn't have got a loan for. Huh? Did you do that? In your name. You married a man or married a woman that God didn't tell you to marry, but you wanted it. In your name. So we do that, honestly, guys. And listen, I'm not standing up here telling you something that I ain't never done. I bought a house in my name. And in my name, there was going to be a foreclosure. I'm telling you the truth. Oh, we do stuff in our name, baby. How many cars did I buy in my name? I bought a car in my name. And in my name, the man brought a flatbed up and said, in my name, I'm taking that car back. You can't pray in your name. That's why Jesus says that when you pray, asking anything in my name, because what you're doing is giving Jesus the authority to look over the situation that you're praying for, and then he will act accordingly because he is God and not you. And so he might say yes, he might say no, he might tell you yes, but not now. He might tell you to wait, but he is sovereign and you are not. He is sovereign and you are not. So it is important to understand. Brother, I want you to see this. Bring 1 John chapter 5 up. And I want you to start at verse number 13. I want you to see this verse. Verse number 13, we're gonna look at. And you can bring that as the King James too. Thank you. Thank you. Listen to this. Oh my. These verses is really going to make you scream. So if you need to scream, you scream. But listen. John says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Oh, I believe on that name. "That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye have, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now here we go, verse number 14. "And this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything, according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him." Wow. Throughout the entire Bible, thousands of verses in the Bible is speaking on the same principle that God chooses not to do anything on this planet if God's people is not praying. We were talking about, Brother Mike mentioned the children of Israel, and God was getting ready to wipe out the children of Israel because he got frustrated. See, I know you look at God and you don't think God gets frustrated with you. Just wondering how long is it going to take for my people to get it. Oh man, we've been a ministry almost 15 years and we're still preaching on prayer. They were in bondage for 400 years. God says to Moses, "Their voice has come up to my hearing, and I'm sending you. I'm sending you to go down to Pharaoh to tell Pharaoh that I am said to let my people go." But hear this, if they were not praying, God would not have raised up Moses, God would not set Moses, but because they cried out unto the Lord day and night for a deliverer, God sent them a deliverer. Every time God moves in the Bible, every time you see it in the Bible, somebody prayed. I remember Esther. Esther was told by her uncle that you're going to have to go into Ahasuerus, whatever his name is, and stand in the stead of the people. And Esther said, "Listen, I'm not really allowed to go in there, but if I got to go there, I need to know something. I need to know that there's somebody out here praying for me." Let me give a sidebar. You know, we Christians today in America, we love it easy, don't we? I love it comfortable. You go home and put your feet up and just turn on the big screen TV and just get mad because you got two remotes. Which one is? I'm saying all of that because we love and please their hearts. I've been on it too. A Daniel fast. We did a Daniel fast. Ain't nobody talk about an Esther fast, but we did a Daniel fast. Because in the Daniel fast, Daniel ate. He ate some pomegranates and he ate some nuts and he ate some dates. He had some raisins. He ate. See, but Esther said, "Listen, I don't want nobody to eat nothing. And I don't want nobody to drink nothing. Nothing. Absolutely. For 3 days. For 3 days, don't absolutely." I don't hear nobody talk about an Esther fast. But we get a Daniel fast. Okay, I'm back on. Now, and please, I'm not coming on a Daniel fast. It ain't even in the Bible, anyhow. Daniel fast. It was just something that he said. We're not going to eat of the world's stuff. Maybe we ought to go on a Daniel fast and stop eating some of from the world's table. Yeah, we get so hungry. I'm getting off the subject. That'd be another subject. But Esther said, I don't want nobody to eat or drink. I want them to fast for 3 days. And then at the end of the fast, I'm going to go in. And if I perish, I perish. But I'm going in to see the king. And dear hearts, because of that, the children of Israel, the Jews, were saved alive again. And it is because, and you can see it throughout the Bible, that God moved heaven and earth when his people are praying. Oh my God, I am anticipating God to do something great. And dear hearts, I'm not just trying to get you all spurt and all excited. Listen, God is saying that if you would pray, I am going to work on your behalf. And my wife and I pray, and we pray for our sons because they're not saved. They're just as crazy as a road lizard, but they ain't saved. But they're going to get saved. Matter of fact, her and I, we praying for their salvation. And I want you to know what happens if you have a loved one that you're praying for that isn't saved. It makes it harder for them to get the mind off of God. Yeah, it does. Don't stop praying for them. They may be acting crazy and they may be doing this and doing that. But I know that their mind is on God. I know it because they're getting into more crazier things. And that's them. That's them trying to stop it. So listen, continue to pray. Pray until something happens. Because that's what Daniel is teaching us today. He said that it's the persistent prayer that prevails. That if you just throw in the towel and you give up in your prayer life, dear hearts, listen, all of the things that I described today, it did happen and it does happen. But the moment you get down there, and can I say this, and then we're going to go. Have any of you, matter of fact, brother, can I tell them what happened when you went to Walmart? Brother Jason went to Walmart and he heard somebody talking. And he realized that it was Brother Hansel. So Jason put on his hoodie and started, you know, to walk like this over to Hansel. Hansel backed up and actually was putting his daughter in front. And then Jason took off his hat. He said, "Man, you scared me." He said, "The guy that shot me, that's the way he came up on me. He said, I was just scared." I just want you to know that if you have ever been startled, you know what you don't do? And I'm going to recommend, because it works for Jack, it still works for Jack. In your prayer life, when some crazy stuff starts coming to your mind, he don't know that you know that it's him. But the moment you, "Devil, get out of here!" Amen. I'm telling you. You startle him. Once he knows that you know that he's up there trying to harass you in your prayer life, absolutely. You can sit down, you can lay down, you can kneel down and be intimate with God. And you can, oh my goodness. And listen, it's just us disciplining ourselves, because God wants us to have a vibrant prayer life. And you can't if you keep letting him come and harass you like that. So listen. The gist of the story is this. Are you praying? Don't stop. Don't stop. If God hasn't answered your prayers, continue to pray. God said, and because listen, if you are a born-again Christian, the answer is right there. You need to press through all of this and understand that the third-dimensional person that you are, where you're supposed to fight, because it's not you and I. And it's sad that we're not fighting like this. You guys and gal, boy, wouldn't you rather knock somebody out before you pray? It is through our prayer life that we get the victory. May we stand to our feet. Listen, if you're here today, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know something. I showed you a passage of scripture up here that you are special. You are absolutely special to God. Matter of fact, your soul is so valuable that he gave the greatest gift he could give. And that was the precious blood of his son. Well, to know that he died for you, that you might have eternal life. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, will you come now? I'm not going to assume that all of you here are saved. I'm not going to assume that. But I know that you can. You can be saved today if you come to Jesus now. Are you ready?